Heavenly Father, we bless you for this very night. We thank you for your power, your dominion, your spirit that is here this very day. I ask, O God, let this atmosphere be charged with your deliverance and with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we please be seated? Amen. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. For the past 2 weeks, on a Wednesday, I have been dealing with the subject of the mind. The subject of the mind. The artificial prison of the mind. The artificial prison of the human mind. And on the Wednesday studies, I have dealt with some foundational elements of what shows that the human mind is in prison. Last Wednesday, I gave you some backgrounds and illustrations on that. But this past Wednesday, just a few days ago, I gave some strategies as to how to win back your mind. How to win back your mind. How to gain victory in your mind. But this very night, I am going to go into the subject of spiritual warfare in the mind. And those of you who were not here, I gave some handouts from my presentation. This is the first one, the artificial prison of the human mind, because I will not go through it. Let me have an usher, please. I will not go through it. There are two yellow folders over there. You can pick one, the artificial prison of the human mind. And the second one is the gates of the mind. The gates of the mind. The gates are the openings that the devil uses to enter your mind and manipulate you. And I gave 5 gates that the enemy can use to take hold of your mind. In fact, there were 6 gates, forgive me. 6 gates that the enemy can use to take hold of your mind. So those of you who were not here, you can take those 2 handouts, you can read them. They are almost self-explanatory. The notes are a little bit well arranged so that you can read to your own understanding. Amen. But before I go on to my subject this very night, which is a more serious matter, I want to go back into a couple of things that will make you understand the benefit of what I am dealing with tonight before we pray. Because tonight we are going to go through the deliverance of the human mind. The deliverance of the human mind. So, but before I go there, I have to convince you that your mind is in prison. Amen. Before I talk about deliverance, I have to convince you that you are in bondage. Because what is the use of deliverance when I am not in bondage? How do you tell a man who is not in prison that you are setting him free? It's not very wise. So my purpose in the next 2 minutes, while this ushers clear the atmosphere, is for me to convince you that your mind has been captivated by the adversary, the devil. So during those first session, the artificial prison of the human mind, I gave about 10 symptoms that shows that your mind is in prison. The first one I said is self-created fear. The symptoms I gave, unfortunately, is not on your handout. Please write notes. Please write notes. Listen to me carefully. Never trust your mind. Write notes. Your mind can never be trusted. Amen. Take this from me. Your mind can never be trusted. Your mind is a computer. It crashes. It overloads when you get frustrated. See, I was back there in the computer room when Mariska was not there. I was trying to enter the password so that I can get into the online streaming. But it was so hot back there. The heat was hot over there. My mind was fried. I couldn't think. I couldn't remember the password. I was sweating. But the password is here. But I couldn't remember it. It would have been easier if the password was written somewhere where I could have just put it in. But I struggled for 30 minutes, wasted 30 minutes because I did not write. You cannot trust your mind. I hear me, somebody. Don't take information for granted. Information is very crucial for your deliverance. So whatever you are told, whether you know it or not, write it down. I hear me, somebody. I used to walk around carrying a pen because I do not want to forget anything. So when I discovered that they made a phone call Samsung Note, I bought it. So that I will not work with a pen anymore. Because every time an idea comes to your mind, and you tell yourself, oh, when I go home. See, by the time you get home, you lose the idea. I hear from somebody. You see, ideas are expensive, and ideas are worth billions. See, this microphone was created by the idea of someone. I hear from somebody. These cameras were created by the ideas of someone. So do not take your ideas for granted. Trust your mind when you dream to keep the dream in your mind. No. Write down the dream. At best, get a voice recorder and record the dream. Don't give that responsibility to your mind because your mind cannot be trusted. Your mind has... I hear me, somebody. With that said, I believe you have a pen and a paper. So this is to convince you that your mind might be in prison or might be captivated by the enemy. Number one, self-created fear. Self-created fear. I'm using the word self because the fear that I am talking about is a fear that you created yourself. Because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if I am living in fear, it is an indication that the devil has my mind hostage. And I told you a couple of things of the fear that people live in. People have fears of heights, fears of all kinds of things. Self-created fear. Nobody has told you, but you taught it yourself. You place that fear inside of you. The fear that you cannot make it. The fear that you cannot pass that board exam. The fear that you cannot complete school, so you dare not go at all. You are the one who created that fear. The fear that you cannot go higher than you are right now is a self-created fear. You place that limitation on yourself. The fear of going forward so that you are content with what you have. Number two, this is not my subject, so I'll run through them very quickly. Low self-esteem and self-image. Low self-esteem, I'm using the word self again, indicating that I place it upon myself. A low self-esteem. You look down on yourself. You tell yourself you are not pretty enough. You are not beautiful enough. As a result, you sell yourself cheap. As a result, you do not value yourself. It is an indication that the devil has your mind hostage. Number three, hallucinations, illusions, allusions, and delusions. If you can't remember, I just write all the shames. Hallucinations, illusions, allusions, and delusions. Amen. Your mind begins to wander. Your mind begins to find things that are not there and make them to appear there. Delusions. You begin to see things which are not there. They are not realistic. Number four, shadows of death. Shadows of death. In other words, you are there and you feel like you are about to die. You feel like death is upon you. You are scared for your life. You wake up and you tell yourself, I feel like today I might not make it. That is the shadows of death. Your father died of a heart attack. Your mother died of cancer. So you also begin to tell yourself that, well, you might die of it. Those are shadows of death. It is an indication that the devil is working with your mind and you need deliverance. You need deliverance. Shadows of death. Shadows of reptiles. Shadows of reptiles. Where you see animals which are not there. You feel their presence, but they are not there. I gave you an example that when I was growing up, I used to sit in a room with my legs lifted because I presumed that snakes were walking around, whatever, crawling or walking, whatever the case. I presumed that snakes were moving under my feet. So whenever I sit down, I lift up my legs. Even though the room is carpeted, I still felt the presence of snakes. Shadows of death. It is an indication that you need deliverance. You are sleeping and you feel like someone is sleeping next to you, but nobody is there. You are sleeping, you feel like there is a reptile next to you and nothing is there. Your mind has been taken by the devil. The next thing, creation of the failure concept. Creation of the failure concept. You created the failure concept. You made yourself a failure. You tell yourself, as for me, everything I touch, it becomes bad. Everything I touch, it becomes, who told you that? You told yourself. You tell yourself certain things that makes you a failure. Creation of the failure concept. Creation of the pitiful concept. Creation of the pitiful concept. In other words, people pity you. And the reason why people pity you is because you pity yourself. Whenever someone pities you or someone sympathizes with you, you should never be happy with that. When somebody sympathizes with you, it means that you are pathetic. It means that that is how you see yourself. You see, even if I am going through something and I can bring myself above that thing, and I don't pity myself, when you see me, you won't pity me, even though I'm going through something. So the way I subject myself to the problem is what causes you to pity me. So if someone is pitying you, it means you pitied yourself. You are pitiful, that is why people pity you. The cycle of the sinful nature. There is a cycle of the sinful nature in you. You continue doing the same sin over and over and over again. There is a habit of sin in your life that you enjoy. And this particular sinful nature, the reason why I call it sinful nature is because it is premeditated. You tell yourself, I am going to do it, and after that I'm going to pray. It's premeditated. But you go beyond that. Because when you continue in the cycle of the sinful nature, your conscience is sealed. And you reach a point where you do not even want to pray after you do it. But it is better, let me give you an advice. It is better to do it and pray than to do it and not to pray at all. Amen. Even if you premeditated it and you told yourself, I am going to do it and pray, that is fine with me. But the continuing of doing that is extremely dangerous. If you reach the point where you say to yourself, as for this, I don't think I can pray to God at all about this. That is the point where the devil has taken absolute control of your life, because you cannot even afford to ask for forgiveness. It's a worst scenario. Self-imposed limitations and restrictions. Self-imposed, and I say self again, self-imposed limitations. You tell yourself, I cannot go this high, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, so forth and so on. It's self-imposed, unsure of your salvation. Unsure of your salvation. You tell yourself you have lost your salvation because of something you did. You committed some sin, and so after that, after you told some lies, you said you have lost your salvation. And so you begin to play games with your mind, unsure of your salvation. The reason why you are unsure is that there are some arguments going on in your mind. And I'll get back to that later. There are some arguments, intense arguments, going on in your mind. That is why the Bible said, and casting out imagination. The other translation, which I prefer, said, and pulling down arguments. There are some contentions that are going on in your mind, which is telling you, you are incapable, you are a failure, you are not saved. Those arguments is an indication that the devil has you. Faithless faith, that's the last one. Faithless faith, the final symptoms that the devil has your mind, and the devil is ruling over your mind, is when you have a faithless faith. You believe that God can do it, but you don't believe he will do it. Let me say it again. You believe that God can do it, but you do not believe he will do it. Amen. In other words, you believe because the Bible says so. You believe because you have heard it so much. Well, if there is a God, then he should be able to do it. But however, you don't think he can do it for you. You don't think he can pay your rent. You don't think that he can supply your needs. You do not have that faith to believe. It is a faithless faith. It is a hopeless case. These conditions indicate that Satan has your mind hostage. And if you are suffering from any of this above symptoms, it is an indication that you required deliverance from the mind. Deliverance from the mind. So tonight, if I have convinced you that you need deliverance, then I'll be talking about deliverance from the mind. Amen. Today I'll be talking about something very important. You see, the destiny of the human mind rests upon your head. The destiny of the... No, forgive me. I keep on keeping my mind on mind. The destiny of the human life rests upon your head. Your destiny is upon your head. That is why, if you are to be anointed, your head is anointed. The head upon the human is the most important part of the human body. Let's see what the Bible says about the head. Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. Now pay attention to me very carefully. I'm taking you somewhere this very night before we pray. I want to convince you of the need of certain prayers. You must begin to pray with all urgencies. With all urgencies, you must begin to pray this. Genesis 3, the verse number 15. And I will put enmity, this is God speaking. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God is speaking to the devil, the serpent, and man, Adam and Eve. And he said unto them that I will put enmity between you and the serpent, between your seed and the seed of the serpent, so that there will be an intense hatred between the two of you. When you see the serpent, you will endeavor to destroy it. And it will also bruise you. He said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Underline the word head if the Bible is not borrowed. Amen. 2 Samuel, the chapter number 3. 2 Samuel, the chapter number 3. Sorry, the chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. The verse number 16. Read with me very, very quickly. My time is of high importance. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. So David said that, let his blood be upon your head. Let the blood of Saul be upon your head, not upon your leg, not upon your stomach, but let it be upon your head. Upon your head. And I said before that your head is a symbol of your destiny. Your head is a symbol of your destiny. Psalm number 7. Psalm number 7. Psalm number 7. The verse number 16. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come upon his own plate. His mischief, his wickedness shall fall upon his head, shall fall upon his head. These are strategic ways of praying and paralyzing people and spirits. Psalm 23, the verse number 5. You know that very well, so I'll stop over there. Psalm 23, the verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. It says, you anoint my head with what? Oil. When you read the Bible from Genesis to even the book of Revelations in the New Testament, you will find out continuously that the Bible plays a lot of attention on the head. The head becomes the most important symbol of the human body. And what the head contains is what makes it important. It contains the mind or the brain. So today I am dealing with the subject of the mind. That is why I gave you a very simple illustration of what the Bible says about the head. Because when the head is no more, the brain is no more. I hear me, somebody. The most important organ in the head is the brain. Man can do without any organ in the head except the brains. You have heard of many transplants. You have heard of, what they call it, heart transplant, liver transplants, kidney transplant, but you never hear of brain transplant. I'll tell you why very soon. You never hear of brain transplant. Never. You see, a human being can do without a hand. You have seen human beings without hands, right? Good. You have seen human beings without legs, right? You have seen human beings without kidneys, but you never see a human being without a head. You will never see a headless human being, because a headless human being is not a human. The brain is the only organ in the body that scientifically, biologically, it cannot be transported. According to, it's very interesting, before I did this sermon, I read a lot about the brain. I'm telling you, it was like I was schooled. Amen. According to some experts who are in charge of the stem cell in the U.S., they say that it is possible to grow every organ in the body. Every organ. In fact, not only have they said, but they have done it. They have managed to grow every organ in the body. They grow it in the lab. Your liver, they have grown livers in the lab. They created it, they've grown it, they can put it and it works. They have grown people's kidneys and it works. They have done heart transplants and it works. So one of the leading surgeons who has been in the practice for over 60 years, his name is Dr. White. He was asked the question, is it possible to transport the brain or to grow the brain? And he said, no. The reason is because the moment you take the brain out, the person is dead. Because the brain controls every aspect of the human body. The brain controls your locomotion. You know what locomotion is? If you did a little biology in school. It controls your coordinations and your movements. Let me see something. If I can tell you something. So even your spinal cord and everything is tied and programmed to your brains. Right? And according to this same Dr. White, it is possible to transplant the human head, but not the human brain. Listen carefully. He said it is possible to transplant the human head. In other words, they can take Pastor Veronica's head and place it on my head and take my head and place it on her head. But they cannot take her brain and put it in my brain and take my brain and put it in her brain. Are you confused? You shouldn't be. They can transport her head and give it to me. The reason is because as long as they do not detach the brain, it is possible. But the problem is this. One of the leading biologists, neurologists, asked the question. He said, what will be the point of a brain transplant? A heart transplant is useful. Because if I transplant my heart and give it to her, if it corresponds, she will still be here. If she receives a kidney transplant, she will still be here. If she receives any other transplant, she will still be here. But if she receives a brain transplant, she is no longer here. So if they take my head and put it on her, she cannot think like her anymore. She now thinks like me. But what is the point? I'm going to explain certain things to you. That's why I'm giving you basic knowledge. Implanting things into your mind. Amen. The same way, even this leading neurologist said, even if we grow a brain from scratch and put it in a person, what will be the point? Because if we grow a brain, in other words, the person is no longer the person anymore. Because now the person has lost all memory of her life and everything, her mother, her relatives, her origin and everything. The person no longer thinks as herself. So there is no stem cell research that can really make a person who he is as far as the brain transplant is concerned. The brain is the most important organ in the human body. That is why every warfare, every satanic attack takes place in the brain. I will tell you why the brain cannot be transported. When God created man, man is what we call a tripartite. In other words, he's a triunion, or he's created in three components. And this tripartite is the spirit, the soul, and the body. Scientifically, science believes in the dualism of man, which is the soul and the body. But biblically, we believe in the tripartite. Now, duality means that man only has a soul and he has a body, just like animals have souls and they have a body. But we believe that what man is a tripartite, he has a spirit, a soul, and a body. In other words, when he dies, his spirit goes to heaven. That is why animals don't go to heaven, because they are dualistic creatures. Are you hearing me, somebody? So when you buy a dog and you go to heaven, you won't find your dog. Amen. So when God created us within this tripartite case, the spirit was that which God gave unto man, and the spirit is who man is. And the spirit possesses the nature, the character, and the abilities of God. So when God said, let us create man in our own image and after our own likeness, he is talking about the spirit of man and not the body or the casket by which man was placed. So when God said, let us create man in our own image, the image he's talking about is the spirit which possesses the likeness and the character of God. It has the ability to coordinate like God. It has the ability to think like God, behave like God. It accepts the things of God, but the soul is another thing. So the Bible said that when God created the body, the spirit was implanted into the body. And the Bible said when the spirit collided with the body, man became a living soul. So that is how the soul was created. It was a collision between the body and the spirit. And man became what? A living soul. Now that soul that we are talking about is what made man an individual, or what made man independent from God. In other words, the soul now gave man the ability to make choices aside from God. So therefore, we say that God did not create a robot, but he created a man who has the ability to make his own choices because of the soul. And so the soul is the seat of your volition. The soul is where you make your choices. The soul is where your emotions, your feelings, everything, your love. When you feel love, it is all here. In the soul. And the seat of the soul is the mind. The seat of the soul is the mind. That is where your choices, you make your decisions. That is where your feelings, your emotions, everything else is coordinated over there. So when man fell in Eden, the Bible says that he lost his spirit nature, or his spirit nature died, because God said to him that the very day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Did man die? Yes, he died. His spirit died. He had no relationship any longer with God. And now his soul took dominion of the man and the soul. And now man became a soulish person. He began to think like an earthly being, a worldly being, a materialistic being. A man now began to move contrary to the ways of God, because he is soulish and he's making his own decisions without the spirit of God. Listen carefully, I'm getting you somewhere. So when Jesus died and now man is saved, now the spirit now is what is called born again. So the spirit is born again to think like God, comes back alive, and to bring man back to the nature of God. But the problem was that when man was born again, his soul was not born again. And because his soul was not born again, it created a contention. It created a battlefield in the mind. Because the spirit understands the things of God, and the spirit wants to do the things of God. So Paul said, oh wretched man such as I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Because the moment that he is implanted with the spirit and the soul, there was a contention. Why? Because of the very fact that the devil only attacks the mind. And the Bible said, he shall bruise your head. He will attack your head. He will attack your head. It is the place of your choice. The place where you make your decisions. I am going to give you. How many things do I have here? Let me see how many things I have. I am going to give you 5 ways by which the devil takes control of your mind. 5 ways. You see, if the devil can enter your mind and take control of your mind, he has taken charge of your destiny. He has taken charge of your destiny. And a lot of people are doing things without their own self, without their own mind, without their own mind. A lot of people are making choices that they are not in control of. The first thing, satanic arrows of infestations. Just call it satanic arrows and you'll be fine. Amen. Satanic arrows. When the Bible talks about arrows, the Bible is talking about something that the devil ingests into you. And these satanic arrows are injected into your brain. And that is how it causes disorder, confusion, mental disorder and mental sicknesses. Where the devil sends in the arrows into your mind. And this is becoming one of the biggest problems in Christendom today. People's mind are being captivated by the devil. They are losing their mind. People, family members, people are losing their mind. They are losing their mind. Number two, satanic padlocks. Satanic padlocks is when the devil locks your mind. And you don't have the password to enter your own mind, Cheryl. You don't have the key to enter your own mind. You want to use your head, but you can't use your head. Have you ever felt that way before? You want to use your head, but you can't use it because someone has placed a padlock on your head. Your mind belongs to you. You want to think, but you can't think. You are frustrated beyond reason that nothing can enter your head and nothing can come out of your head. You start hitting your head on every corner so that you can gain back some thoughts. When you are feeling that way, it means the devil has a padlock on your mind. And you have no access to your own mind. You do need deliverance for that. Number three, satanic pollution. Satanic pollutions. When the devil implants this into your mind, he tells you, your life is not worth living. Kill yourself. Commit suicide. After all, what? Nobody cares about you. Why are you? What is the point of living? When the devil begins to infest your mind with those things, it means that the devil and his cohorts have polluted your mind. They have gained grounds at the battlefield of your mind. They have fortified their strongholds in your mind. They have taken charge of your mind. And if they take charge of your mind and they pollute your mind, it means they take your destiny. And if they take your destiny, they can tell you to kill yourself. Sometimes you'll pick the knife and you'll look at the knife. Satanic pollutants of the mind. The devil can bring you to that point. The Bible says that, and the devil has come to do a couple of things. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. When the devil pollutes your mind, that is what happens. Three, satanic cages. Four, I know you are paying attention. Four, satanic cages. When your mind is caged, your mind is restricted, your mind is bound. You look at yourself as a failure. You are restricted in life. Everybody is going forward, but you see yourself retrogressing. You see yourself coming backward. And all you keep on telling yourself is that everybody has went ahead of me. Your mind is caged. Your mind is caged. You are stagnant in one place in life. You are not able to move. In other words, the devil has gained access into your mind. And not only has he polluted your mind, but he has managed to cage your mind. He has managed to make your mind stagnant. That help is not coming from anywhere. Five. Satanic transfers. Satanic transfers. Satanic transfer is when someone who is born to be intelligent, born to be smart, and within the course of occultic manipulations and psychic phenomena, his mind is transferred and transported into someone's child. So your child looks like a dummy. Your child is not making it in school. Because some occult mechanism is working against your child. And sometimes it works against yourself. Where one of your friends takes your abilities, takes your ability to survive, your ability to succeed in life. One of your friends envies your mind and your brain. And they go somewhere and they switch what belongs to you and they give it to them. Satanic transfer. This is a brain transfer in the realms of the spirit. You don't think the way you are supposed to think because someone has your mind. Someone has your mind. Listen to me. When you go through these five things in your life, and as we are going to pray, we are going to leave here, you have to go home. And you have to begin to pray because this cycle of deliverance does not end here. The cycle of deliverance never ends. This cycle of deliverance is a daily battle, is a daily warfare you must wage. You must wage this warfare continuously. So the Bible said we die daily. We die daily. There is a warfare going on every day. The devil wants your mind. Every day the devil comes. Jesus said the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me because Jesus has control of his mind. And the Bible said, let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be inside of you. He said, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. The Bible said, and now therefore be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is not born again, but your mind is instructed to be transformed. I hear me, somebody. In other words, the devil will come to attack your mind, but you do not just have to sit mute. You have to begin to speak transformation into your mind. You have to begin to speak the opposite of what the devil is saying into your mind. So the devil comes and tells you by satanic pollutions that you shall die. You have to speak the opposite and transport your mind, or what I call renew your mind. And say, I shall not die, but I will live. I shall not die, but I will live. It's not a one-time thing when the devil says you are going to die. So, oh, I shall not die. But no. It's not a one-time thing. You have to continuously say it. I shall not die. I shall live by the word of God. You go to bed, you say it. You wake up, you say it. You say it continuously until the Bible said, and the devil left him for a season. So you have to continue saying it and continue repeating it until the devil gives up. The Bible said that, and when the devil comes, the Bible said, resist him and he shall flee away. How do you resist him? You resist him by renewing your mind. The Bible said transformation comes after renewal. So you are born again, but you are still bound. Why? Because your mind is not transformed. And I gave you an illustration that you can put a bird in a cage, keep him in a cage for a couple of weeks. And when you open the cage, the bird will not want to come out. Because even though the door to the cage is open, the bird still thinks, it still thinks, Sister Cheryl, it still thinks it is in prison. You can take somebody from prison when they come out and they still have the prison mentality. You can be born again and you still have the bondage mentality. Because you have not reached the stage of transformation. So the Bible said, Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, and he that was bound came forth. You see, he came forward. He responded to life, but he was bound. The man was dead. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He responded to the voice of life. Jesus gave him life. Just like you and I have been born again, we have received a new life, but you can still be bound. Lazarus came forth, and the Bible said, and he that was dead came forth, bound head and toe. And Jesus said unto them, loose the man and let him go. Because as long as he is bound, he is restricted. He cannot go anywhere. He shall remain at the doorstep of the grave. And he still thinks that he is dead. Why? Because he is wearing grave clothes. So if you don't unbound him and remove the grave clothes from him, everywhere he goes, he will feel like he is dead. Because the presence of death will be around him. He will smell like death. Why? Because he is bound. And because he's bound, his eyes are covered. He will not see the way he's supposed to see. That is why many believers do not see what is inside of them. They do not see the power that God has invested inside of us because of the very fact that we are bound head to toe. We are bound all around. We do not see what is inside of us. For the Bible says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. But you can say it, but the question is that when the enemy approach you, would you believe it? When you are going to the situation, would you believe it? When you are in that predicament, would you believe it? The Bible said, and he shall supply all your needs according to his riches, which is in the heavenly places. But would you believe it? When you cannot pay the rent, would you believe it? When you don't have the money to eat, would you believe it? If the mind is bound, if the mind is under satanic attack and satanic assault, you will not be able to believe it. But the Bible said, be ye transformed. It said, be ye transformed. Tonight, may heaven bring a transformation. I said, may heaven bring a transformation. May your life be transformed. It said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind and bring your mind from where you are. Stop looking at the obstacle. Stop looking at the mountains. Stop looking at the problem. And turn your eyes on Jesus, the one that said, I will supply all your needs. Don't ask him how he will do it. If he said it, take his word at it. The Bible said, he said to the disciples, we are going to the other side. He gave his word. And when God gives his word, he can relax and he can lay back. He can chill because he has given his word. The reason why you are going through what you are going through and it looks like God is not showing up is because he has given his word. He said, we are going to the other side. Whether there is rain, whether there is storm, whatever the problem is, we are going to the other side. So the Bible said, Jesus slept in the boat. Why did he sleep? Because his word is sure. He is not a man that he should lie. The Bible said, from generation to generation, his word endures forever. So the word he said was enough. We are going to the other side. So he slept in the boat. Tonight, God, Jesus may be sleeping in your boat and you are confused why the bills are not paid, why the rent is not taken care of, why things are not happening the way they are. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and remember what he said. No matter what happens, we are going to the other side. So align yourself with him. Today, let your mind be transformed. I said, receive a transformation. Receive a transformation. Receive a transformation in the name of Jesus. Listen, we are going to pray on the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 10 over there with me. How do we wage a warfare if we are going through these five stages? How do we wage a warfare? How do we wage a warfare? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Are you there? Good. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to help you get something right now. Let me look at my notes here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The verse number 5, how do you wage a warfare? How do you wage a successful campaign to take over your mind? Because your mind is the most important thing in your Christian life. It's very, very important. See, we are facing certain defeats in life because our mind is under satanic assault. 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? To the pulling down of what? You are not saying it were strongholds. Yes. He said they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm talking about when the devil has fortified his campaign in your mind. He has taken control of your mind. The devil has caged your mind. The devil has got you to a point where you have lost control of yourself. And you don't belong to yourself. Sometimes you ask yourself, what is happening to me? What is happening to me? This is not where I want to be in life. The devil has taken control. But the Bible said, the weapons of our warfare. Somebody say, I have a weapon. Someone say, I have a weapon. Jesus, I am going to give you five weapons. The first weapon is the blood. The blood of Jesus is the weapon. The Bible said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood. And if you are going to overcome, you have to plead the blood. You have to plead the blood. And if you are pleading the blood, you have to know how to plead the blood. You don't just say, I plead the blood. No, no, no. You have to know how to plead the blood. Cain killed Abel. And the Bible said, and the blood of Abel cried from where Cain killed him. The blood cried from where his brother had killed him. I hear me, somebody. In other words, you plead the blood to where the problem is. You don't just plead the blood. So I plead the blood. No. What you are going through, attack that place because the devil has built his stronghold. You see, a stronghold is a fortress where the captain of the host sits. I hear me, somebody. The stronghold is the headquarters. When you go through military warfare, the stronghold is the headquarters. That is the most difficult place to capture in battle. So you can defeat the enemy at every point of vantage, but the stronghold is where the enemy will place barricades and try to protect at all costs. And the Bible said, we must pull down those strongholds. And you need the blood. Plead it upon that place. Number two, the word of God is a weapon. So the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cutting through what? Bones and marrows. The word of God, the word of God. You can speak back the word at every circumstance. In every situation, you can speak the word back to the devil. The Bible said that when the devil confronted Jesus Christ, at the time when he was fasting, the Bible said the devil told Jesus, it is written. And Jesus spoke back and said unto him, it is also written. And so he spoke back the word and he recorded the word to him. And you got to understand that Jesus won that battle by the word. By the way, line by line, he won the battle. And if you are here, you don't have the word inside of you. Woe betides you. Woe betides you. You are quoting scriptures like the devil, which don't belong in the Bible. Scriptures like the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. You are quoting scriptures which don't belong. Number three. The name of Jesus is a weapon. The Bible said, at the mention of the name Jesus, the Bible said, and he has glorified that name Jesus, that at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I don't care what your problem is, but when that name is mentioned, I don't care what the situation is. When that name is mentioned, I don't care what the stronghold is, who is in charge of that stronghold, but when that name is mentioned, the Bible said, every knee shall bow, for he has lifted that name above every powers, above principalities. I just want to mention the name Jesus. Number four, the consuming fire of the Holy Spirit. The consuming fire of the Holy Spirit. You have to pray and release some fire. I'm telling you, sometimes you have to pray, Mr. Russell, and pray some unorthodox prayers. I'm telling you, you're going through certain, some of you, your prayers are too nice when you are in a warfare. It's a warfare. See, when you go through warfare, you use every weapon available to you to win the warfare. If you have some air bombs, you throw them. Whatever it takes to win the warfare, any kinds of advanced missiles that you have with you, you have to use them. And I don't know, but sometimes you go to a place and you come to a ranch and all you can say is, fire! Let the fire consume them. And let the fire reach every camp of the enemy, every principality, every witchcraft covers, let the fire consume them. Number five, we have a host of angels under our control. And the prophet said to the young man, you are troubled and you don't know what is around you. But today, let God open your eyes so that you can see those who are on our side. For those who are on our side are greater than those who are standing before you. The reason why you are confused and the reason why you are worried is because you don't know those who are on your side. There are angels on your side. Wherever you go, you don't need to be afraid of anything. David say, yet though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You need not fear anything, for the power of God, the angel of God, the resources of heaven is available unto you in the name of Jesus. It says, that is fine. It says, the weapons are not what carnal. If the weapons are not carnal, it means that the battle that we are fighting is not a carnal battle. That is why our weapons are not carnal. Now listen, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So the weapons of what? The weapons of what? The word our is what we call a possessive pronoun. There are nine types of pronouns. Nine. Those of you who did English language. There are personal pronouns. There are demonstrative pronouns. There are reciprocal pronouns. And there are infestatious pronouns. There are reflective pronouns. There are nine kinds of pronouns. Intensive pronouns, interrogative pronouns, and there is a possessive pronoun. And a possessive pronoun means that that which we are talking about belongs to you. It says our, if you don't know what a pronoun is. Jesus, you just went to English language right now. A pronoun is used in the place of a noun. In other words, it is a word that is used in place of your name. So when I say his, my, we, those are pronouns. So it says our warfare. In other words, it is a possessive. It is not a reflective pronoun. A reflective means it belongs to someone. A personal pronoun means it is personal. So a personal pronoun means my warfare. But he's saying our warfare, which is what? More different. It is a possessive pronoun. It is an indication that the thing we are talking about, it is a collective thing that belongs to an entire family, an entire bloodline. Everybody is going through the same thing. It is a possessive problem. Listen again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. When we talk about casting down imaginations, I said arguments, casting down imaginations. You are thinking hallucinations, delusions, and all the illusions and everything that you are thinking. And another translation said, casting down or pulling down arguments. In other words, in your head, there is an argument going on in your head. Someone is telling you do it. Someone say don't do it. Someone is telling you can't make it. Someone said you can make it. But the Bible said, cast down, pull down those imaginations, pull down those arguments. And what else? It says, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience. He said, every high thing, we are talking about challenges, mountains, boundaries, limitations, restrictions, things that barriers, things that you can't go over. Every high, the Bible says, every mountain shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be what, brought low. So every mountain, he said, every high thing that exhausts itself. He said, pull it down and bring into captivity anything that exhausts itself. Please rise on your feet. We're going to pray. My focus is on the last word. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Every thought. We are talking about your brain. We are talking about your mind, where the devil has taken resident, and the devil is destroying the life of people, putting fear, defeat, and all kinds of things in our mind. He said, every thought, bring it into, in other words, arrest the thought, arrest the enemy who has healed us at that thought. He said, arrest that thought. Lift up your hand, say in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
I lift up. A rebellion.
A resistance.
Against.
Any satanic assault.
Any satanic attack. Against my mind. Say tonight.
I resist.
Say I resist.
In the name of Jesus.
Say any voice.
Of the enemy.
Of the enemy. Speaking into my mind.
Tonight.
I plead the blood.
Upon my mind.
I plead the blood.
Upon my mind.
Say tonight.
I take control.
Of my mind.
Of my thoughts.
Of my thoughts.
In the name of Jesus.
Say tonight.
I take control.
Of my thoughts.
In the name of Jesus.
Say any arguments.
In my mind.
Tonight.
By the word.
Of the living God. I take control. In the name of Jesus.
Say
today.
Today.
I settle.
Any argument.
Any disputes.
In my mind.
In the name of Jesus.
Say tonight.
The same mind.
That was in Christ.
Let it be me.
In the name of Jesus.
Say I am born again.
I am born again.
Say I am saved.
I shall never be a failure.
I will be above holy.
In the name of Jesus.
Say tonight.
I declare.
Every arrow.
Of frustration.
Against my life.
Tonight.
Return to the sender.
Return to the sender.
In the name of Jesus.
Any satanic padlock.
Any satanic padlock.
In my mind.
As blood by fire.
Explode by fire.
Explode by fire.
Explode by fire.
Explode by fire.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
Any satanic pollution.
Any satanic.
Any satanic pollution.
Any satanic pollution.
In my mind.
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 Today.
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 The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
It's against you.
It's against you.
It's against you.
It's against you.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
From any state.
From any.
From any state.
From any state.
Of fear.
Of fear.
Limitations. Restrictions.
Restrictions.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I pull down.
I pull down.
I pull down.
I pull down.
Every stronghold.
Any stronghold.
Every stronghold.
Every stronghold.
Of disappointment.
Of disappointment.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
I pull down.
I pull down.
Every stronghold.
Every stronghold.
Suicide. Of suicide.
Of suicide.
Of death.
Of death.
In my mind.
In the name.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
I pull down.
I pull down.
I pull down.
I pull down.
Every stronghold.
Every stronghold.
Of poverty.
Of poverty.
Of poverty.
Of poverty.
In my life.
In my life.
In my family.
In my family.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
I pull down.
I pull down.
I pull down.
I pull down.
Any spirit.
Any spirit.
Any spirit.
Any spirit.
Of discouragement.
Of discouragement.
Of discouragement.
Of discouragement.
Hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
Hopelessness. In my life.
In the name.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
I pull down.
I pull down.
Say I pull down.
I pull down.
Any garment.
Any garment.
Any garment.
Any garment.
Of bondage.
Of bondage.
Of death.
Of death.
Over my life.
Over my life.
In my life.
In the name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Say tonight.
Tonight.
I pull down.
Any sickness,
heart diseases,
cancers,
tumors, fibroid. Say, I pull it down. In my life,
in the name,
in my family. Say, I pull it down.
In my life,
in my family.
I pull it down.
In my life,
in my family.
In the name, of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say any mental disorder.
Any mental disorder.
Any mental disorder.
Any mental disorder.
In my family.
In my family.
In my life.
In my life.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I pull it down.
I pull it down.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it down.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it down.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it down.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it down.
In my life.
In my life.
In my family.
In my family.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say any marital failure.
Any marital failure.
In my life.
In my life.
In my family.
In my family.
Tonight.
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 I pull it down.
I
pull it down.
I pull it.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it down.
Say I pull it down.
I pull it down.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say today.
Today.
Put your hands on your head. Say today.
Today.
Say my mind.
My life.
My soul.
My soul.
Say my mind.
My mind.
My soul.
My soul.
Be transformed.
Be transformed.
Right now.
Right now.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say my soul.
My soul.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
Say my soul.
My soul.
Say my soul.
My soul.
Say my soul.
My soul.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
Say my soul.
My soul.
My soul.
My soul.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
You shall not die.
But you shall live.
But you shall live.
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 In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Say my soul.
My soul.
Say my soul.
My soul.
Say my soul.
My soul.
You shall not leave.
You shall not.
You shall not leave.
in poverty.
In poverty.
Say, my soul.
My soul.
You shall not live.
You shall not
in
live.
Poverty.
In poverty.
Say, my soul.
My soul.
My soul.
My soul.
You shall not live.
You shall not live.
In poverty.
In poverty.
Say, my soul.
My soul.
You shall not be established.
It shall not be established.
You shall not be established.
You shall not be established.
In sickness.
In sickness.
In sickness.
In sickness.
In the name.
In the name.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.